Everybody look at it. Now, y'all pray, boy. I don't like these Sundays like this. I mean, Carrie loves it. She said, Daddy, I love it when nobody's there. I don't like it when nobody's there. And she's stuck at home tonight. There's a way to Charlotte. The guy was taking her, got scared and turned around and come back. And she called me about halfway down here, and Todd's stranded down there with no way home. So we may have to go get him here in a little bit. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 7. Here's a great verse. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And of course, that word Selah, when you see it in Psalms, means stop and think about what you just read, or meditate. Muse, browse on what you just got through reading. Thou art my hiding place. Now, I'm going to give you three reasons why every man needs a hiding place. And that hiding place can only be found in Jesus Christ. And all you young people, you're going to need a hiding place. David said, he's like a place to hide, like a man running through the desert, and you find a cave, you find this cave, and you get in that cave and hide. The Lord is. The old song said, the Lord's my rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in a time of storm. I want to say three things about it right quick. First of all, He's our hiding place from the power of sin that's within us. He's our hiding place from the power of sin within us. Anybody who's saved and been saved a while knows yourself good enough, know that you have the power of sin still raging in you. The power of sin don't let go of you when you get saved. That flesh still has sin raging in it. Amen? You sure do. Matter of fact, you don't even realize that till after you're saved. You don't realize how powerful sin is till you get saved and start trying to quit it. And then it just keeps coming back. And don't get discouraged. I've been to the altar, and so have you, and begged God to forgive you. How many of y'all have ever went to the altar or prayed, and you promised God, I'll never do that again, or I'll never say that again? I have. That's a big mistake, you know? Because, buddy, you don't realize the power of sin within you. That old flesh has the power of sin within. Romans chapter 7 is a perfect example of that. Old Paul the Apostle, he is one of the greatest Christians, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. You know what Paul said in Romans 7? Everybody get Romans 7 down and read it once in a while. He said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. He said, I make up my mind I'm going to do right and I do wrong. I say I'm going to do better and doggone if I don't do worse. I say I'm going to do... Romans 7 is a perfect picture of a man struggling with the power of sin within him. Finally, Paul got down to the end. You know what he said? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me? Jesus. He's our hiding place from the power of sin within. You know, when I first got saved, and I mean, I still try to please the Lord, but when I first got saved, I had it in my head that I thought, I've got to live perfect, or God's not going to, He's going to leave me, and He's not going to help me. And I got down in the floor, and I beat my hands, and I said, oh God, and it seemed like I'd do real good for a couple of hours or days. And Lord, in mercy, you find yourself thinking awful thoughts, wanting to say something that ain't right, do something that ain't right, or not do what you're supposed to. And you think, I thought I had the victory over that. As long as this old flesh is alive, it's still got the power of sin within it. Your flesh is capable of sinning until you die. And people laying on hospital beds prove that all the time. They'll lay there drawing their last breath and cuss God, cuss their family, everything, because the power of sin within. And we got to do what Paul said. We got to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the power of this old body? And I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I couldn't stand here in front of y'all tonight unless I was hiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's my rock. In Him I hide, a shelter in the time of storm. I've heard people say, Lord have mercy, Brother Danny, I'm not worthy. You're right, and I'm not either, and you're not either. But we have a shelter and a hiding place from the power of sin within. Let me show you another one right quick. We have a hiding place from the power of the devil without. From the power of the devil without. What's that? Now, even though we got sin in us, there's a lot of sin out here in the world. And so we got power with that. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. That's not talking about our inward sin. That's talking about sin coming from out here somewhere. All these different media outlets, through television, through radio, through people that you work. Some of you work people. Does anybody in here work with somebody who cusses on a regular basis? Anybody? Everybody. Everybody. I guess everybody in here. If you work on a public job, you're going to hear language that ain't right. And, I don't like no cussing. You know, people say cuss words, but when it really gets you is when they start taking God's name in vain, bringing God and hell and making jokes. Man, it just like when somebody says Jesus Christ, boy, it just, as a curse word, it just like something in you just says, no, shut up. You know, you just, if the Lord, the Holy Spirit's in you, that's going to grieve it. And boy, sometimes you just want to backhand them, smack them like that, but you can't do that. And you're like Lot. The Bible said he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. And I have heard of Christians a lot of times saying to somebody, look, I wish you wouldn't talk like that. I mean, it offends me. And not try to be holier than they are or better than they are or something like that, but that really, really, really bothers me. Would you please not take the name of my Savior like that or something like that? And a lot of times people will quit. And sometimes they'll just say it worse just to spite you. Just throw it in your face. And they'll do it, brother. They'll do it. But I'm glad we got a hiding place from the power of sin without. We are bombarded with sin. We're bombarded. That Super Bowl man, Michael and the boys is wanting to come over to my house and watch it on the big screen. I'm going to go buy a new one. No, I'm not. But they're wanting to come over to my house next Sunday night and watch it. You get to watch the last quarter. That's all that matters anyway. And they said, man, we don't want to miss none of it. I said, you boys ain't going to lay out of church, are you? They said, we're coming to church. And I said, well, you want to watch the last quarter? That's fine. And I said, how long is a football game anyway? And they said it's 4 15-minute quarters. Somebody correct me if that ain't right. 4 15-minute quarters. That means they're actually playing ball 1 hour. You know how long that thing be on TV? 5 hours. You're going to have 4 hours of commercials and watching people breathe and watching a coach. They show the coach walking back and forth like this. That's about the most interesting thing I've ever seen in my life. Watching a man. Who wants to see a man walk back and forth? They'll show it and they keep talking. Well, they'll show the coach and then they'll show this and then they'll show that. You know why they keep showing? Because it's boring, man. I think they ought to just let them play. Don't stop them every 20 seconds. When they all pile up, it's whoever comes out with it, man. Fight it out. Now, that would be fun to watch. But they're not going to do that. They let them play about 10 seconds. Stop. Line up again. Stop. Line up again. Stop. Line up again. And then throw $1 million commercials in there for about $1 million every 10 seconds or whatever they are. And, brother, you will be bombarded. They're not going to let them put no political ads on. Did you hear about that? That's what I heard on TV. They're not going to let them put some ones anyway. They said, we're not going to turn the Super Bowl into a political platform. I mean, you can see naked women, but you can't see no politicians. Which that play probably are worse than naked women. But did you know what? Did y'all hear about Howard Dean? Y'all know who Howard Dean is? He's running for president, man. He's a Democratic. He's going to be the head dude for the Democrats if that other fellow don't beat him. And he really messed up. He really messed up. He was doing pretty good about 2 weeks ago, and they said he come down south. Classic example of a politician. He's from way up north. Yankee, Catholic, and I think he come down here, and you know, to get Southerners votes, you got to be a Baptist, a Christian, and born again, and talk, quote, Bible. I mean, you ain't going to get no votes down here unless you talk like a Christian. So they said, man, you got to talk like Christian, these people down south. And so he went and seen Jimmy Carter. Did you see that on the news? He went and visited Jimmy Carter, and him and Jimmy Carter, that got him some good spiritual advice from brother Jimmy Carter. And he said, man, you got to be more open about your faith. So it came out in the paper, he was going to be more open about his faith down south. And boy, did he mess up. Talking to him, I heard this on a Christian talk show the other day in my car near Charlotte when I went down to the hospital, and it said that they was talking to him about the Bible, and he said, yes, my favorite book in the New Testament is Job. He said that, and they got him on video. So he said, my favorite book in the New Testament is Job, man. And finally, somebody said, man, that Job ain't in the New Testament. And he said, oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And he said, but it really is my favorite book. He said, but it's so sad how it ends. I thought, and they said, you retard? It don't end bad. Job gets double everything he got. He gets double camels. He gets double sheep. He gets all his kids back. He's twice better off at the end than he was at the beginning. That's a perfect illustration. A politician will say anything. I mean, they'll go to the homosexuals and say, yes, sir, I'm for you. And they'll go over here to Right to Life people and say, yes, sir, we're for you. And they'll go over here to this group and say, yes, sir, we're for you. And then if you don't, sooner or later, you get shot from every side. And that's what's happened to him this week. Man got to stand somewhere. But you know, you're going to get bombarded with the power of sin without all the time. And you got a hiding place. Jesus is a safe hiding place. He's a safe hiding place. You ladies here tonight, I'm not saying it's just for ladies, but men can too. But there's seducing spirits out in the world. And I believe, I'm convinced, I've been pastoring a church way over half of my life. Over half of my life I've spent doing what I'm doing right now. And I'm telling you, I am convinced that seducing spirits go in the houses when the husband's gone and talk to the ladies. I believe that. I believe that. And so you ladies, be real careful of things that just pop in your head. I'm telling you, they'll come in through that TV, them soap operas. You sit around and watch soap operas, and it won't be long till the devil will be putting something in your head that ain't right. Ain't right. I'm not saying he don't do it to men. I'm not saying that. But I tell you what the book says. I tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said in 2 Timothy, in the last days, for the Lord are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women. And don't say silly men. Says silly women, brother. And there's a lot of women. They think, well, I just don't feel right. I just don't feel right no more. I just don't feel right. I just don't think I love you no more. I just don't feel like that. I don't feel like our church. I used to feel like I was a part of it. You better watch stuff like that. There's somebody, a spirit talking to you. Thank God we have a hiding place from the evil spirits. I tell you, when you start feeling weird and thinking weird, you ever just sit around and all of a sudden these weird thoughts come in your head? I mean, just crazy. Where'd that come from? Man, I'm suicidal. You know, I don't know what's going on. And you think your mother hates you or something, you know. Or you think I'm going to die tomorrow. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. It's just the devil messing with your head, man or woman. You better say, hey, I'm running to Jesus. Protect me, Lord, from the power of those evil, wicked spirits. You can't believe everything that pops in your head from God, because it ain't. Probably very little of it is. Most of the people so far away from God, they wouldn't hear Him if He did say something to them. And you got to watch those evil spirits. You got to be careful. Old David Koresh, people like that. You know what he done? He listened to evil spirits. Amen? That's right. They overcame him, the Bible said, by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. I used to hear them people get on radio down here and they'd say, walk around, meet Jesus. Walk around, meet Jesus. Walk around my bedside. And boy, I'll catch on. I know it's old-fashioned, and it might not be scripturally right, but I believe the Lord here, buddy, the old saint of God says, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around my bedside now. And I believe the Lord does that. I believe we have a power, a protection from the devil without. We ought to pray it on our kids. All right, this will be the last thing. What did I say? I said, first, we have a hiding place from the power of sin within us. And buddy, we need it. Second, we have a hiding place from the power of the devil without. And we need that. Third, we need a hiding place from the judgment that's coming on this earth. The world is judgment bound. Revelation 6:16 said, there'll be a day when people will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them. But they ain't going to be hid. We're hid in Him. We're in His hand. Buddy, when the judgment falls, I'm going to be hid somewhere. I'm going to be hid somewhere. I'm going to be hid in the rock. Amen? From the tribulation. Amen? From the ancient offers of the devil and all of those things. They run to the altar from the pavilions that stretched over the poles there in the Old Testament. They run. How many of y'all started reading your Bible back in January? Well, you should be in Exodus by now. Most of you should be at least in Exodus. Is anybody past Exodus and Deuteronomy? There's one, two. Okay. That's good. Most of you, I'm still in Exodus, but I'm in Luke in the New Testament, and I'm coming along pretty good. And you're reading about them offerings. The Lord made him a tabernacle, and he put up that tabernacle, and he said, there will I meet you. So the tabernacle in the Old Testament is where God met with his people. And buddy, that's an interesting study. It said the laver and the showbread and the candlestick, that candlestick give light on the bread. You couldn't see the bread on the table, but that candlestick was shining light. That's the Holy Spirit. The bread's the Word of God. And that thing where you wash your hands every day in it, partake of that bread, and the Holy Spirit shines light. That's a candlestick. And then you go in the Holy of Holies. That's where God is. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, ripped that thing wide open so we walk right into the Holy of Holies now, right into the presence of God where he is. That's a hiding place from judgment that's coming on this earth. Amen? Amen, buddy. I'll tell you what, boy. They said, I read about this old boy one time. Big old tough, mean fella. They call him Bear. He's a bricklayer. And old Bear got saved, and he couldn't even spell Jesus. But he got saved and got on fire for God and became a great soul winner in about 14 years. And you know what he done? He had a rifle, and every time he'd win a soul, he'd cut a little notch in it, put a notch on his rifle stock. You know, like old times they used to kill, every man they killed, they put a notch in their wooden stock. Every time he won somebody the Lord, he put a notch on his stock there. And buddy, I'll tell you what, that old boy finally went on home to the Lord and missed hell and got saved from the judgment to come because of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said old Big Leon, old fellow up named Big Leon, Jack Hiles told about. And Leon come to church and got saved. And Jack Hiles preached on the funeral of the old man. Bury the old man. And old Leon went down and said, what do I got to do to get saved? I want to bury the old man. And he had no idea what church was about. He said, whatever I got to do to bury the old man, I'll do it. The preacher said, kneel down here. Somebody led in the Lord. And that old boy got saved. He'd been a drunk for years and years and years. They said after that, a few Sundays after that, preacher got up and said, all right, everybody give a tenth. You know, we give our tithes. We're supposed to give a tenth. Everybody got your tenth? He raised his hand and said, I ain't never heard of a tenth. Preacher's out in the car, if that'll work. He thought them two-fifths would make a tenth. But that's just the kind of guy he was. And son, he preached. He went out and preached in bars and in honky-tonks and on pool tables. I heard a fella going in the pool hall, and he talking to this guy, and he's trying to witness to him. And he said, you ain't got no guts. He said, I tell you what I do. He said, I got enough guts to jump up on top of this pool table and preach if you'll unplug that jukebox. You got enough guts to unplug the jukebox? Everybody's listening to music? I got enough guts to get on the pool table and preach. He said, all right. Guy went over and unplugged the jukebox. He jumped up on the pool table, man, and started preaching. That takes some guts. If you don't believe that, go try it. Go try it down in Charlotte somewhere. Go to a pool hall. Cut your guts out, buddy, if the Lord ain't with you. And I've been in some places like that and give out tracts and witness. It's scary. But I thank God that we have a hiding place from the judgment to come. Amen. Let me quote you a little song here. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer.